in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen, listeners around the world. Welcome to the Monday, October the 27th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. I love listening to that song. Kind of rock out here as the day starts. We're on the web. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are on the web. My name is William Roberts, and I have good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today as we look at this concept of federalism. We're going to go into that a little bit more today. We have 9 days remaining before the general election. I'm not going to belabor the point. You probably were inundated by election issues all over the weekend. I was busy working on many things myself, and so we're going to dive into the broadcast and go back to this concept of federalism. You know, I've been trying to wrap my mind around this as a way of bringing this information out without sitting down and actually typing out a summary, if you will, of so many different things that I've been looking at here in my own library. But I keep coming back to these encyclopedia articles in the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences as being definitely the best written material on the subject. But the challenge is that it is rather dry, and it is loaded with terms that need definition. And so we'll go through it slowly, just kind of proceed along. But if we can wrap our minds around this concept of a federal system, a federal government, federation as a concept, and then in the next day or two blend in the national idea of a national state or a nation state and the idea of nationalism and balance in one pan federalism against the idea of nationalism, then maybe we can start to understand a little better about some of the real political challenges that are out there. They not only relate to you and I and in our relationship with government, but they also pose the same kind of problems for the people that are already involved in setting up our governments. Maybe we'll understand a little bit about why some of the people are being driven in their mind toward these pan-European ideas and the pan-American Union type of ideas, kind of bringing all of these parts and pieces together. Some people really believe that that we really should have a one world government, and we're always dealing with that, you know, the establishment of the new world order. Is there any validity to it? Is there a specific reason why they want to pull in that direction? You know, other things are coming on us and at us. You know, we've got the economic crises that was established for us so that we can be in economic turmoil, so that we can be more comfortably merged into the new economic world order. We have lots of legal issues that are facing us on a regular basis so that we can be comfortably merged into a new legal order. We have the commercial unions, if you will, between Asia and Africa and the various federal regions of the world. There are lots of things that are happening here. So I think taking the time to look into and understand a little bit more about this idea of federalism would be useful for us, in especially the fact that when our founders were looking at setting up a different kind of government here, separating themselves from the monarchies, they looked at federalism. I think we should too. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us here on Become Vocal Local.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Now, this idea of federalism, before we get into that, I'm going to lay out a couple of other definitions here so that you can keep these firmly in your mind, because they're going to be absolutely important to understand what federalism is all about. We can start with the definition just simply for unit. A unit is an individual group structure or other entity regarded as an elementary, structural, or functional constituent of a whole, a unit. It's a group regarded as a distinct entity within a larger group. So if it's a group within, with an individual entity within a larger group, we could think of a, I have to use this term, so I'm just going to use the term, blending it back and forth again, a nation inside a group of other nations, a country, a people, a region, a state, inside a global organization, if you will, of independent or individual states or units. Unit is important to our discussion. Unitary is of or pertaining to a unit, having the nature of a unit or a whole. It's based on or characterized by one or more units. And so, if we are looking at the global plantation as being comprised of many individual units, and if we were to look at what the founders were considering when they had these colonies, 13 of them, and they were thinking about doing a different kind of government. They had an idea of units in their mind. I'll go back now to the encyclopedia article that we've started a couple of times last week and give you again the first opening sentence. It says, federalism, in its broadest and most general sense, is a principle which conceives of the federation as the ideal form of social and political life. As an ideal form, and it harkens back to Aristotle and Plato's Republic and whatnot, ideals. There's a lot of early logic involved in this topic. And it continues, it says, and it's characterized by a tendency to subordinate coordinating for subordinating relationships. Now, this author, Max Bohm, this article that he's written is loaded with definitions. I would write out half my dictionary if I were to type out a radio address and cover each of these definitions. So I just glance back to them and bounce off them from time to time. But again, this idea, this tendency to substitute coordinating for subordinating relationships. In other words, in these various units, these colonies, we were going to go into a process of coordinating the actions of the various colonies as opposed to subordinating them. Okay? Continuing, or at least to restrict the subordinating relationships as much as possible. In other words, as little from above as possible, giving as much autonomy to the other units as possible. And the idea of federalism was to replace compulsion from above. You know, that's the whip, the stick. It was to replace compulsion from above with reciprocity, doing things back and forth between each other. Understanding, in other words, it's not a closed system. It's an open dialogue. It's a deliberative assembly. Reciprocity, understanding, and adjustment, making a tweak here and a tweak there. Maybe this will work better over here in the southern states, and this will work a little better up here in the northern states. But by having multiple state governments inside a federal system, there might be more harmony and more unity, and that gets back to unit again, doesn't it? Understanding and adjustment. And then it is a idea of taking command, replacing command with persuasion. Command with persuasion. In other words, you know, dialoguing. Again, it's the deliberative assembly. It's the idea of coming together. That's why we have the separation of governments. We have the bicameral House of Representatives, the U.S. Congress. We have the bicameral system. We have both senators and we have congressmen. And the same applies in most all of the states, too. So there's these ideas. And then it was a replacement or a tendency to substitute law for force. Instead of having to force people into doing things, we used laws to basically limit both the power of the individual or the power of the state, the power of the eventually corporations. Really shouldn't say corporations because the colonies mostly were started as corporations. But the idea then is to regulate or substitute. Instead of using force, we would use law. And these are distinctions that were at the time quite unusual in a new government, and most certainly unusual in the family of nations, if you will. So let's go into it a little deeper here. It says, in its application to concrete political problems, federalism becomes a relative and dynamic principle. You see, every sentence that he's written, again, this is Max Bohm. I'm reading from an article of federalism out of the 1930s edition of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. And this man is very bright. And he has, through his wide vocabulary and his careful choice of words, he has reduced what might have been a many, many page treatise down to a lengthy encyclopedia article that runs several pages. But here he says again, in its application to concrete political problems, federalism becomes a relative, that's a word to understand, and dynamic principle. In other words, we're not talking about something that's static here. Because of the way that it's organized through this coordinating for instead of subordinating relationships through the other things that I've just mentioned, it becomes a dynamic principle. We work together. It's not static. It's not etched in stone, which led many of the early writers to talk about more of a living constitution. I know that's a difficult concept because when we say that, we misinterpret it and think of it as misconstructing the Constitution or a constitution of private interpretation. No, not at all. It has a system of amendment built into it, and we need to follow the system of amendment to the letter of the law. And if we don't get an adequate number of states to ratify changes to constitutions, or if you don't get an adequate number of people in the several states to ratify an amendment to the Constitution, they won't through popular election, through initiative and referendum, by whatever means, well, then that amendment just doesn't carry. And it shouldn't be forced through in the middle of the night, as some have been in the past. Continuing, the federalist tendencies of continental Europe during the 19th and the 20th centuries were mainly centrifugal. What do we mean there? One may distinguish a centrifugal and a centripetal federalism. Every sentence, words to define. Do we understand centrifugal and centripetal? Centrifugal is throwing everything out to the edges. And if you have followed the leads that I've given in the past in regards to going and looking at the Tavistock Institute's website, then you'll understand that edge theory is coming into play stronger and stronger right now. So it's a centrifugal federalism that is being discussed at the higher echelons as opposed to a centripetal federalism. Centripetal is where it all moves towards the center. And these are fundamental to our understanding of what's happening in Washington, especially over the last 8 or many more years than that, but what may be coming in the future. It's the centripetal is bringing everything to the center. It's bringing everything under the umbrella of the federal government. And through grants and aid, the states buy into it and the public buy into it. And then they send you out your rebate checks or your refund checks as if manna was falling from heaven and that you should have $500, $600, $1,000, or $1,200 in your pocket as mad money just to shut you up so that you can accept the tyranny in Washington and the destruction of our economic system. Anyway, continuing into this a little further, he says, again, the federalist tendencies of continental Europe during the 19th and 20th centuries were mainly centrifugal, and this was a reaction against the unitarism. There's unit again, unitarism. But here he's raised it to the level of an ism. Now, in this particular case, I think he's just using ism as an addition in his word. I don't believe he's actually talking about a belief system, but he could be. And so it would be prudent for us to look into unitarism and see if we could find other references. If we could find a founder of this belief system, then we would have a greater understanding of what's being said here. But anyway, it's a reaction against the unitarism, which was prepared in France during the monarchy and put into practice in an exemplary fashion during the French Revolution and the Jacobins and by Napoleon. Under French influence, unitarism progressed in Russia, especially under Peter the Great, in Prussia under Friedrich William I, and in Austria under Joseph II. Similarly, the unification of Italy took place in conformity with the principles of unitarism. It's a global situation, folks. We'll get into that more on the other side of this break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins. Lower blood sugar levels. Annihilate acid reflux. Lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
So we balance this idea of centripetalism and centrifugalism, if you will, inside of the concept of federalism, and think of it as in one system it's throwing the power or the decision-making abilities or the primary issues, the dynamics, to the edges, to the states, to the colonies. And the other concept of federalism would be centripetal, bringing it all to the center, bringing it all in, a unitary government. And I think the way that the founders were talking as they wrote the Federalist Papers and in the Anti-Federalist Papers, the discussion really was to stay away from this strong central government, even though Hamilton was a proponent of such, and to keep the power at the state level, limiting the power that the federal government, the central government, could exercise, limiting it. So I say constitutionally limited. So we'll continue just a little bit further, because now I'm trying to lay out, without going into extensive historical background, and there's plenty of it in this particular article, just to give you a thumbnail, if you will, that we're not talking about something that is limited to the United States of America, that this movement that occurred in the early 1700s up until 1900, this movement went worldwide. To use an internet term, it went viral. Okay, there was a whole lot of shaking going on. They were shaking up the old world order, and we were moving into the new world order. And you can go back and you can pick places to start. I like to start at the Reformation and bring it forward from October the 31st of 15 and 17. And perhaps on October the 31st, if it falls on a weekday, I didn't look at the calendar, we'll talk about that on that day. But going into this a little deeper now, and back to the article, besides the existence of the Papal States, or I should say, besides, comma, the existence of the Papal States, that's the papacy, that's Rome, impeded a solution along Federalist lines. You can't avoid the 300-pound elephant in the room here. We had something else that was happening that was blocking solutions along the Federalist lines for much of Europe. Although the Unitarian tendencies, again our word unitary and unit, Unitarian tendencies in Germany foundered, fell apart, flopped in 1848. Oh, there's an important date. And the Reich, which Bismarck created in 1871, was organized according to federal principles. The reform of the Swiss Constitution of 1848 tended towards unitarism. At the same time, Austria experimented with a greater centralization, which was also the aim of the German Constitution of 1919. Do you get a feeling for how this article is written in these sentences? There's so much study that you can do in each one of these various paragraphs that you could, it really, if you look, well, we will look at some of the footnotes, but you could really spend so much time just under getting a grasp of what we're actually talking about here as we started to develop a new system of governments worldwide, not just in our colonies, not just here. In the face of a tendency to establish complete unitarism, federalism becomes a principle of opposition. Auguste Comte spoke out against opposition. Auguste Comte, the founder of positivism, was opposed to opposition. He felt that they were merely destructive in their effect. And so, just as an aside, but in the face of a tendency to establish complete unitarism, federalism becomes a principle of opposition. It unites itself with forces which are unpolitical, hostile to the state, and if carried to an extreme, anarchical. And through this alliance or psychological coloring, it becomes discredited as a constructive political principle. So these are some of the downsides of what federalism can be and has done and has been shown to do. It unites itself with forces which are unpolitical and hostile to the state. Perhaps our founders in our United States of America were looking at that as the federal system as a way of prohibiting or making it exceedingly difficult to have an overpowerful state, hostile, if you will, to the state, and if carried to an extreme, anarchical. We have the right, we have the duty to throw off an oppressive government. And it continues, and through this alliance or psychological coloring, it then becomes discredited as a constructive political principle. The government and such groups as maintain a positive attitude toward the state fear that federalism may bring about a weakening of the state and lead to disintegration in the form of irredentism or separatism. What is this word, irredentism? Irredentism. Let's see if I can find it quickly right here. Irredentist. One who advocates the recovery of lands of which his nation has been deprived, or of territory culturally or historically related to his nation, but now subject to a foreign government. And then it continues, and that's out of the American Heritage Dictionary. But do we see a certain irredentist movement, irredentism movement happening with the people who are traveling from Mexico and other places in South and Central America to and gravitating towards the United States, claiming that they're recovering native grounds? That's irredentism. And then, of course, separatism is different from that, which we'll cover on the other side of this break. Your calls are welcome today. Please call in.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Become vocal local. And we did have a caller from California. Bobby, please call back in if you like. And callers, your calls are welcome at 1-800-313-9443. I'm kind of deep in thought on this issue. You know, it's so early in the morning for me, but it's probably early in the morning where you are too. These are things that I just spend my entire life in contemplation, meditating, studying, researching, reading about, so that I can understand, or I'm trying to find solutions, real solutions to the problems, not a bunch of Band-Aid cures on the, as I like to say, the sucking chest wound of the body politic. I'm looking for the real solutions, how we can get out of this. And in all of this discussion and in my dialogue here, I'm always mindful of the understanding that we are yet a very, very young nation. We do have a caller, Betty in North Carolina. Betty, come on up. What have you got for us this morning?
I'm just wondering if you'll make some comment on the Bill Benson hearing tomorrow in Chicago.
Go ahead. If you've got the data in front of you, I've got it written down, but I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, well, it's a matter of First Amendment rights.
Exactly.
And it's the permanent injunction.
Yes. Do you have the
put on his website?
Do you have the address of the courtroom by any chance?
Nope. I don't have the judge. I'm looking all over the internet for it, and I can't find it.
Well, I'll take a look at. Well, let's see. We're in the big section, so I just missed the break. I don't have that at my fingertips, but I will look for it at the next break. And
I feel you're an authority, and I just love to hear your response to what's going on.
Well, I'm very concerned about it, and I think that Bill Benson needs all of the support that he can get. Anything that where we're actually able to get a hearing in law, and I'm not an attorney, but any place where we can actually get a hearing like this, just like the case that was just turned down, challenging Barack Hussein Obama's citizenship, but any place where we can actually get a hearing, that is some place that we need to support. And if I were up there, I think it's in Chicago. I just don't have the data in front of me, Betty. I apologize. But
I it's just the whole First Amendment. All five rights are being violated.
Well, absolutely. And all of our if you
by
look at
the court.
Yeah, if you look at the bundle of rights, everything right now. I mean, we are in a hellacious battle for the continuance of this country, which is why, you know, I come on the broadcast every day. You know, I am searching for these solutions. And one of the things that I keep coming back to and always keep coming back to is looking at these, established political parties, because they're the ones that are bought and paid for by the global, financial, community that have a lockhold, a stranglehold on the United States. And because we have yet remaining some military and yet remaining some technological advances that are exceed others, you know, we're used as the bludgeon for their events. And we need to stop that, but we're not going to stop it from the outside. We're going to have to go inside and do battle from within. These two parties have got to go. There's just no representation there at all. They represent the corporate interests, they represent the lobbyists, they do not represent us. And this is the system, this federal system that we had our founders set up for us. If we use these tools properly and if we regain control of them, I think we can be a powerful source for good worldwide. But certainly the court proceeding is going to be something I'm very interested in. And if it were in my power to do so, I would like to go up there and just give them support by sitting there and taking notes and seeing how this goes down.
I just hope that you may give an analysis of it after the court hearing as to how it affects the First Amendment rights of everybody else.
Well, I'll definitely follow that, and I'll take that as a lead and an invitation to do so. And I will go on the web and dig out the material. And John Stattmiller brought out the information on the court and the courtroom and the proceeding, and I made notes of all of that from his broadcast, which I do have in notes, so I can pull that up. But perhaps tomorrow we'll be able to go into that a little bit.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome, Betty. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye for now. And your calls are welcome, folks, at 1-800-313-9443. We're talking federalism today, but other issues that are related are certainly appropriate at this time. So please feel free to call in if you like. So again, back, I just started in talking about this irredentism, where people feel that they want the return of their lands that either culturally, linguistically, at some time in the past, may have belonged to them. Now, we have a situation going with the Mexicans. But all over Europe, there was a considerable amount of this feeling of irredentism. People who were living under feudal systems, people who were living in duchies and baronies and things like that, who were finding themselves being dispossessed of a previous form of government and brought under these new systems of government. And so there was a considerable amount of angst, if you will, brooding all over the planet. And there still is today. And then also the idea of separatism. Not everybody wants to be part of a melting pot. People live and do well when they have their own cultures and their customs and their own languages and their own traditions. They live well. They have a sense a sense of community, but I'm really getting tired of that word. The communitarians and the communists have so abused that terminology that I hate to go there, but a sense of togetherness, a sense of unitariness, if you will, when we can be with people that share the same language. And we'll get into that even more when we talk about nationalism later in the week. But let's go further into this a little bit and see what we can find going to the next page and just having to jump around a little bit. I'll just read some of the highlighted material. In the Anglo-Saxon countries, and especially during the last decades in the British Empire, federalism has possessed such a positive meaning. There, federalism, by professing the principle of equal rights of all members, acts as a counterweight to the desire of the component parts for independence and hegemony. All right? So we're talking about here this professing this principle of equal rights of all the members, and that equal rights that Betty just was bringing up acts as a counterweight to the desire of the component parts for independence and hegemony. It's noteworthy that the same symbol or institution, the crown, which stood for centralization in France, now stands for federalism in the British Empire. Now, when our author uses a term in the present tense, like now, he's talking about the 1930s. And so federalism has taken the place of the crown in the British Empire, while federalism as an element of opposition easily becomes doctrinaire and degenerates into anarchism in connection with certain forms of imperialism. It has definitely proved itself an aid to the highest kinds of statesmanship and furthered the preservation of the state. Certain forms of imperialism. Are we operating as an imperial nation today? Are we centripetally pulling all of the power to Washington in an imperial drive, and then being stronger from a federal standpoint? I think that's what's happening. Continuing, just drop down again. Federalism in its practical application manifests itself differently according to the sociological factors which it attempts to regulate and which forms its basis. Now here's the use of sociological. Sociology, again, goes back to Auguste Comte and positivism. Comte, Auguste Comte coined the term sociology. He dubbed the science of the study of man as the queen of sciences, as a trump over even philosophy. And so here, less than 100 years removed from Auguste Comte, we have the idea of sociology, and it's been developed into a science. It's taught in schools, and here our author is using that in part of his definition and exposition of federalism, where federalism in its practical applications manifests itself differently according to the sociological factors which it attempts to regulate. Always regulation. And which forms its basis. So the old states of Europe are almost entirely of dynastic origin. Dynasties. In many instances, territories were added by conquest, by bequest, or at times by purchase. You see what the parallel there between the creation of the United States of America and the dynastic origins of the old European empires? We added so much territory by conquest, by bequest, and at times by purchase, the Louisiana Purchase. I'm standing inside the bounds of the Louisiana Purchase here in southwest Missouri. While medieval feudalism facilitated the disintegration of ethnically homogeneous regions, the absolutism of the early modern period, which even in France began its centralizing work very circumspectly, generally developed from a personal union into a real union, only gradually preparing the way for unitarism. More words, more thoughts, a big idea, a big concept. Federalism, how does it relate? Can it survive? Is this a system of government that we actually have? Is this what was planned in mind for us by our founders? Territories which received a new suzerain, king, retained their self-administration under native leadership and their traditional rights, customs, and regional peculiarities. Are we a territory which has received a new suzerain? Are we retaining our self-administration under native leadership? Now we're back down in our counties, in our precincts, in our states. But we have this new suzerain, this new cabal that has grasped the reins of power at the federal level. Are we involved in this process of federalism here? It was possible to spare local tradition as long as the principle of absolutism remained unshaken and the tasks of the central state were limited in scope as compared with the autonomous, territorial, and local jurisdictions. Now we're back into localism. It was possible to spare local traditions as long as the principle of absolutism remained unshaken and the tasks of the central state were limited in scope. We have a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. But this principle of absolutism, the federal government where they are the absolute, interesting, is it not? But it works only if they allow the locals their autonomy. And that's the key of localism. That's what we're talking about when Tavistock is talking about its edge theory. And when they're talking about localism will be on the lips of everyone at this time. They're pushing the authority out to the edges and running the whole system through grants and aid, control from above down. It flies in the face of the real, true federal principles, even though we talk about a European transatlantic economic council and these federal systems. Anyway, going a little into this a little bit further. Now he spends considerable amount of time in here, and I'm going to skip over most of this, talking about Switzerland and the Alemannic races, High German, Swiss. The 13 British colonies in North America gained their independence in a manner reminiscent of the original cantons of Switzerland and formed themselves into a democratic and republican confederation, which, like the Swiss, later augmented its territory. So we started out with the 13 colonies, and then we later augmented our territory. But he says here, from his research, that the 13 colonies gained their independence in a manner reminiscent of the original cantons of Switzerland. You remember Aldrich Zwingli? You've heard of the Augsburg Confession. You know about Protestantism, Johann Reuchlin, and others. We need to pay attention because much was centered in Switzerland. I was talking about Desiderius Erasmus, Basel, our artist, and so on, other discussions we've had in the past. So our author is looking at Switzerland and saying this may have or was the model for what was happening in the colonies. If that's the truth, we need to understand more about that. We can just jump down here a little bit more. With the spread of nationalistic ideas in the 19th and the 20th centuries, the principle of federalism acquired a peculiar significance and at the same time became more complicated. And that's what we're going to be talking about next. Perhaps we'll begin it tomorrow, looking at nationalism. It made things more complicated for federalism. In former centuries, differences in religion and custom demanded different treatment of the subjects. Now differences in nationality, represented chiefly by different languages and in countries which possess colonies, racial differences have made themselves felt as factors endangering the principles of civic equality. Federalism could be applied within a state to the organization of national groups, wherever these inhabited distinct, separate territories, and especially where in the course of history they had been subject to a uniform administration. And it gets deeper and deeper. This guy's writing is incredible. This is true to a certain extent even of Switzerland, which is wrongly considered a model for the solution of national problems. This is how he's concluding his discussion on Switzerland. He's calling it a wrongly considered as a model for a solution of national problems. So even though the Swiss set up a system, it isn't the end-all be-all, and we need to look beyond that. just dropping down a little bit more, he talks about the Austrian Social Democratic Party advocated by Bauer and Renner for a regulation of the legal status of the nationalities according to personal instead of territorial principles. Now we return to our previous discussion of status briefly. And look at that. There's legal status that's going on in all of this as well. He's got a lengthy discussion in here that has to do with the formation of the Soviet republics and autonomous regions, the autonomous territories, with national nomenclatures, which seem to follow the principle of separating the domain of cultural activities from that of government proper. How many out here? Well, there's the break. We'll find out about that right after. Stay with us.
Is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question, are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question, do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
And we're back. Now, as we're going into the break, and this is the shortest segment, so I'm going to really have to, you know, go into high speed again once again. But nevertheless, as we're going into the break, I just started to talk about the Soviet Union and their republics and autonomous territories, and I was going to ask the question, how many of you ever heard of the Jewish Autonomous Region, the Oblast? You know, we talk about Judaism, the Jews, looking for their national home. They've had a national home. It was set up for them by Joseph Stalin for a very long time. But that never finds its way to the news. Birobidzhan is, I believe, the capital of it. It's on the, it follows along the north side of the Amur River. And the Amur River, of course, forms the north boundary or the north border of between China and the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union. The Jewish Autonomous Region is just to the west of the Sakhalin Peninsula, and the Amur River forms the is the river that forms the one side of that peninsula as it joins in with the Pacific Ocean. It was a basically a failed Jewish state, if you will. However, you can go up on the internet and look at it and find out more about it. But again, this is one of those things where you're setting aside what Stalin was doing as he was trying to follow this irredentism. He was trying to follow this idea of separatism, and he was trying to provide places for the various different national groups, if you will, nations, not from the standpoint of states, but as customs, cultures, tongues, tribes, and creeds, different places for them in the vast regions of the Soviet Empire, the Soviet states. Nevertheless, how many have heard of the Jewish Autonomous Region? We never hear about that in the news. Anyway, and you can Google it up. It's they have it published in newspaper and everything. You can read about it in Hebrew and in English, I think. I go there from time to time to see, follow what's happening over there. Sometimes going to the last paragraph or so of an article pulls together a really great conclusion. But in this huge topic, there really isn't a solid conclusion. So the idea of federalism, even though our author Max Hildebert Bohm wrote well and wrote extensively, there really isn't a big conclusion in the story. It's just something to be aware of, something to know. Federalist theories here in these last closing statements, federalist theories are also frequently employed by movements advocating a confederation of existing governments without impairing of their sovereignty. In contrast to the customary leagues determined by the requirements of war, the characteristics of federalism in a broader sense may be found in regional economic agreements, such as customs unions, and also such movements as Pan-Americanism, Middle Europa, the Pan-European movement, and Pan-Slavism. With some reservations, even the League of Nations may be so classified. Such programs and institutions are frequently abused as a shield for a particular brand of hegemony, as in the Pan-Slavic movement. When international federalism is sincerely conceived, it frequently does not progress beyond the stage of impractical idealism. Yet it cannot be denied that pacifism, growing everywhere as a result of the enervating effects of the World War and fear of new wars, has created a readiness to solve international problems with the aid of federalism. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local. We're taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. My name is William Roberts. I thank you for listening. And until the next time, good day.